Our New Testament reading is found in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Hear Paul's words. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Here ends the reading. May the Lord bless it to our hearts and minds. Well, this morning I want to continue with a series on family matters, and I want to talk about parenting or parent up this morning. But first I want to get started with something a little humorous. I heard about these two parents who were raising two young boys that were always getting in trouble. They tried everything to discipline them. Nothing seemed to work. And finally a new pastor came to town. I thought what they would do is take these two young boys to the pastor and have the pastor talk to them. So they asked the pastor about that. He agreed and said, I'll do it on one condition, and that is that I get to talk to each boy separately. And so they agreed, and mother brought the boys in, and the two boys were sitting down. The pastor came and got the one boy and had him sit in a big chair in the office. He sat on the other side of the desk, and in order to make a point, he had a big booming voice, and he said, where is God? And this little boy didn't know what to do. And so he just sat there amazed. And after a while, the pastor didn't know what to do either. So he said, where is God? And the little boy just looked and in shock. And so finally, the pastor didn't know what to do either. And so for a third time, he said, where is God? And with that little boy shot out of the office, ran down the hallway, and saw his brother and said, you're not going to believe this. God is missing, and they think we've done it. So, I don't know what to make of that. But anyway, you probably wonder that I probably don't have much to share about parenting. I'm right in the thick of it right now with a 9-year-old daughter, and she's the joy of my life. But certainly, I don't have all the lessons of parenting, and I'm still learning myself, and I'm certainly not flawless. But I do think that when we look at God's Word, there's some truths in God's Word that are very helpful for all of us. The other thing you might say is, well, for some of us, some of you, the parenting chapter is gone, and for some of you, the parenting chapter is ahead, and for those that it's gone, I'd say this, we all need support for parents, people to come along and side and encourage parents, because that could be a challenging, and certainly there's a lot of stakes on the line for that, and, you know, just like it says it takes a village to raise a child, I think when you have a family of faith, you have a village there, and all of us can join in doing that. And I think for those who parenting is ahead of them, and, you know, there's something to learn from that. And all of us learn all of life. There's a role sort of in parenting and grandparenting, not to be the parent, but there's things we can encourage others to do. And if you look around in our town and anywhere, there's kids with broken lives whose parents are discouraged or going through difficulties, and they need some folks to come along and sort of be parent mentors, not to take the place of their parents, but to encourage them. And so there's powerful roles. You know, someone once said, and it's true, a psychologist, that one caring adult can change the life of a child. Just one loving adult who really cares about a child can change their life. It doesn't matter whether it's home or school or wherever, but you can transform a child's life no matter what age you are and whether you're a relative or not. And so with that in mind, we go to the Bible to hear what some of the things that the Bible says about parenting. Now, I'm not going to give you 12 things to do this. You'd be the perfect parent. I don't know what those 12 things are. I want to talk about 4 words this morning, just 4 words to think about. And those 4 words are discipline, model, communicate, and love. Discipline, model, communicate, and love. They can be either a noun or a verb, but I think they're most powerful in verb form. And I'm going to talk about them in what I consider to be an increasing level of importance. I think they all interrelate. But the first one is discipline. And if I was to ask any of you right now, what are the scriptures in the Bible that most have to do with parenting, what verses would come to mind? Well, I think for most of them, people would say, spare the rod and spoil the child. Now, is that in the Bible? I know my mother quoted it all the time. It's not in exactly that form. There are some verses that are similar to it, but I never could find it, but I was sure it was in there when my mom said it. But there's a truth there. There's lots of verses sort of echo that. And I think the other one is from Proverbs, which is train a child the way in which they would go, and they'll not go from it. But there's a lot more than that. And so I really want to walk through a discipline. And I think that Paul, even though he wasn't a father, he was certainly a person of the word and was involved in churches that had families, had a lot to say. And the first thing he says is this, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So the first thing he does is he addresses children, and you would think that if Paul's writing this this letter to the church there in Ephesus, the whole region of Ephesus, that they must have shared it with the children as well, because he's speaking to the children. So I think that point is important. But he said, not only is this right, but really what he said is this is righteous. The actual word is righteous. This is righteous to obey your parents. And then he goes on to say, he gives the commandment, which is honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with the promise. So it's the second command, but it's the first one with the promise, that your days may be long and you may enjoy a long life. So there's a blessing attached to that, which is a powerful thing. So a lot of us want to know to have blessed lives, and you think about honoring your father and mother. Youth always say, well, what about my parents being wrong? Well, the Bible doesn't say your parents are never wrong, and they may or may not know the answers to your calculus, but you can always honor a person. And there's no end date, so it doesn't stop when you're 18 or 21, for any of us, at your or my age either. We won't use numbers there. We wish we were 19. But if we honor our parents, it doesn't mean they're always right, but we give them honor. We give them due respect. There's something about that. And if you look at some of the cultures in our world today that really still honor older people, and particularly in Asia, that's a custom, there's a lot of wisdom that people who are older, gone through a lot of life, can offer us, even if we're in our middle years or later. And I always listen to a lot of folks who have wisdom that are older than myself, and sometimes they say some incredible truths, and I think, you know, I need to think about that. And then he goes on, and he says this, fathers, do not exasperate your children. And I want to say, what about mothers? Are dads better exasperating their children? Most of the children probably say yes. Yes, they are. I don't know why that is. Paul seemed to know that truth. Not that mothers can, the fathers seem to exasperate more. And I think maybe it's like this, that as parents, everyone, but I think fathers, a lot of times, for today, mothers and fathers are working, but you come home and you have the disciplinary role and you just want to kind of roll through the whole thing. And all of us only have so much absorption time. And so you can hear so many negative things, don't do this, don't do this, don't do that. And then it just all goes awash. So we really need to emphasize the points that are most important. He goes on to say, don't exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. So that word, bring them up, is actually one word. Raise, and the actual word is to nourish. To nourish. Nourish your kids like a plant that's growing, or like a tree that's growing. To nourish that, make it strong, help it to grow deep roots. And he goes on to say, in training in the Lord, that word is pedia, the word we get pediatrics from. And the actual Greek word means to train towards righteousness or virtue or character. And so when we discipline, it needs to be with the end view in mind, that isn't just punishment or chastisement, but it's a nurturing thing that will discipline them and help them to grow into a person of character and virtue. And then he says instruction in the Lord. I know I grew up in an era in which we did a lot of corporal punishment. I mean, I knew what a spanking was. And there are kids that, you know, need sort of that discipline. It's not something that I'm big on, but I think everybody needs discipline no matter how you do that. And I think what Paul's talking about here is when you think about a great coach, every great coach has a great discipline factor that's part of their coaching. And when you discipline someone, you discipline so that they get stronger. You only break them down in order to build them up. And then you have boundaries. And when someone breaks a boundary, then there's some kind of consequence. And the most important thing, I think, when discipline is to set boundaries that make sense, to explain it and to explain the consequence. And really, that's really what the metaphor about a rod is really about. It's about discipline. If we don't have the boundaries, if we don't sort of enforce the discipline or the consequences, then what happens is kids grow older and older, they push the boundaries. That's just part of life. And there's never any consequences. Then, you know, the older they get, then the more they push though, and then unfortunately they might be drinking too much, drive and have a wreck, or, you know, if we go into prison, they don't say, all right, you're going to stay there the night, then they might be in prison for something worse for long term. And so if we start early and sort of say, here's the boundaries and this makes sense, we agree on what the consequence is, and that makes sense. And sometimes you just sort of instinctively say what that is. Now, to give you an example of that, my mother, she grew up in the Depression era, and her family had a little gas station, restaurant, and store sort of combined, and they just worked long hours. They work, but the kids worked, and then they had stuff in this little store. And so, like every kid, I guess, growing up, when they saw the cigarettes that were there for sale at that time, and they took three of these packs of cigarettes up to the second floor of the house, and my mother and two of her brothers were there. I guess they wanted to experiment with smoking cigarettes. Now, like a lot of kids, they think, well, my parents will never smell this, you know? So, hey, guess what? So, they're smoking the cigarettes, and And I just trying that, and I heard these footsteps coming up the stairs, and they quickly put out the cigarettes and fought, you know, they're going like this, like, you know, they can get rid of all, he'll never smell this. So it was her father. And her father said, "Are you smoking?" To which they said, "No, yeah, no, we're smoking." He said, "Sure, let me look here." So he three packs of cigarettes, one for each kid, and he said, "All right." He says, "You guys want to smoke?" And they didn't know what to say. He goes, "Well, you're going to smoke. You're going to smoke until you smoke every cigarette in this pack for each of you." And so he sat there and made them smoke the whole pack of cigarettes. My mother said, we were so sick by the time that was done, none of us ever wanted to smoke again. Now, they probably write you up today, but you know, it's kind of an example where, you know, there's a kind of a consequence that makes sense. The earlier, the better. I'm not sure if that's the best example, but there's something there that if we say, if we have a boundary that makes sense to enforce that. And as adults, we need to know that, because as we grow, the boundaries get more important and the consequences get bigger. So we need to do that in a way that makes sense. And we need to do it towards also instruction in the Lord. So train towards character and build towards virtue, and to also instruct them into the Lord. And you don't need to know all the theology in the world, but to share what's most important in life. So discipline is one of the key words. The next one is to model. And sometimes when we talk about witnessing or sharing the good news with others, it's that great quote I love, "Preach all the time, use words only when necessary." And I think that's really true when it comes to parents too. Because what we say is one thing, but what we do means so much more. The credibility of our words comes from the life that we live. And not that any of us are perfect, but we need to model what we want our kids to do. And so if we tell them that church is important, we should take them to church, not just drop them off. And if we see giving's important, we need to give, and then, you know, have them give from their allowance or whatever it is. We need to really show them that this is really important in life. And we didn't need to do that with tons of things, but what are the 5 or 10 most important things in our life? And really sort of to measure ourselves with all of that. And when you look at the Bible, a lot of times there aren't a lot of great parents in the Bible. I mean, think about some of the Bible characters. I mean, there's some okay parents. I mean, Isaac was an okay parent. Abraham was sort of okay parent. David, not so good. You know? I mean, people have their faults in the Bible, but I think when we look at the Bible, we can also look at the story of God. God as Father, as a heavenly parent. And what did God as Father, as a heavenly parent, do? And I think if you look in John, these sort of beautiful poetic words in John chapter 1, verse 14, he says this, "The word, Logos, that we have, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father full of grace and truth." In other words, for God, the word alone by itself wasn't enough. God had to come as Emmanuel, God with us, God in flesh, in human form, so we could see God, so we could see God's love and how important that was, and that God gave his life on the cross to offer forgiveness and new life to us. And if God had to show love and not just talk about it, then certainly you and I as parents and grandparents need to not only talk about love, but to show love and to model the kind of values and virtuous character that we want our kids to live. And it doesn't mean we're perfect, but I think if we fail, we fall short, which we always will, to also model what it means to ask for forgiveness. Because we can say, you know what? I didn't do a very good job of that, did I? Well, I hope you'll forgive me and we'll struggle together. Because I think that kind of truthfulness and transparency makes a mark on kids. Because they can have a reality test. They know when we fall short, so we should be able to admit that. So discipline and being a model. And I think along with that, when you think about training, we think about what it means to communicate. And I want you to hear how Proverbs starts out. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. "For gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the poor and simple, knowledge and discretion to the young, let the wise listen and add to their discerning. And let the discerning get guidance." In other words, there's something for all of us to get from that. It says this, "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They are garland to your grace your head." It says son, but it could be son or daughter. It's really the same. If you look at every chapter in Proverbs, almost every single one, and sometimes more than one chapter, it always starts out the same way. My son. Listen, my son. Listen, my son or daughter. In other words, the whole book of Proverbs is about parenting, about bringing kids up. And listen to the conversations that are in that book about wisdom, about what it means to be prudent, what it means to know what discipline is in the right way, and what it means to really honor God and to fear the Lord. And you see those conversations. Now, don't try to read the whole book in one day or you'll be on the exasperation list of Paul. But, you know, you read the book of Proverbs and you think about the wisdom of sharing maybe a chapter or a few verses and the kind of conversation that we're supposed to have. And you really see the richness that it isn't just training them up in the way in which they should go and they won't go from it. All of Proverbs is really about bringing people up in the knowledge, the goodness, and the power of God and what that means to communicate. And then I want to flip back further to Deuteronomy for a moment, which I think is actually the best scripture on parenting and life in general. And that's this. And I remind you that in Matthew, remember when the lawyer comes to Jesus, he said, Jesus, Rabbi, what's the greatest commandment? And do you remember what Jesus said? Jesus said, you love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Now, Jesus was saying something that they knew. That's the first prayer that every Hebrew learns back at that time, back at the time of Moses, and today in a lot of conservative Jewish families. And it's called the Shema. Shema, Israel, Adonai, Elohim. Listen, O Israel. Shema means to listen or to hear. And so that's the little prayer that people learn. And Jesus added something else to that. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And your neighbor is yourself. And so Jesus comes and echoes this verse right here, the most important prayer in Jewish life. And this is at the close of Moses' life, just before the children of Israel go across to the Jordan River, just before Moses gives his life. And Moses goes over the Ten Commandments again. The first two commandments, of course, which are positive, love the Lord your God with all your heart. And then honor your father and your mother. And then there's the list of things you don't do. And sometimes when we communicate something, we just give a list of do not. Don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. And negative things are okay, but like a great football coach, you can't just tell some young person going in to play, don't fumble the ball or what's going to happen. They're going to fumble the ball, because how do you not fumble the ball? You need to tell them what they need to do, which is hold on to the end, hold tight, finish the play. People can do that, but you tell them don't fumble, they can't do that. And so God starts out with a positive thing, but he does clarify, just like a coach, it's important you don't fumble the ball. So here's a list of don't things, but here's what's important. This is the introduction of this prayer. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed to me to teach to you to observe in the land that you're crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping his decrees and commands that I give you, so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey so that it may go well with you and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. And here's the prayer, which begins Shema Israel Adonai Elohim in Hebrew, which is what they call the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. To them, as symbols, tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Then he goes on to give a promise, which is one of the most powerful promises in all Scripture. When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you, a land with large, flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant. Then you will eat and are satisfied. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You can hear more about those blessings in chapter 11 or even back in this chapter, but it's probably the greatest promise in all of Scripture to people in that simple prayer, a prayer that many Jewish people pray more than once a day. And Jesus didn't get rid of that prayer. He affirmed it. He said, that's right, when that young man. But then he went on to say, how do you really live it out? And so I think that's probably the most important thing we teach anyone. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. the passion that's formed us. When we think of heart, we think of today, not just the physical heart, but really all of our passions, all the power that we have. The heart is the most powerful organ in all the human body. It beats on its own without stimulus from the brain. It's one of the most amazing organs of all. Many doctors now believe that there's memories that are part of the heart. But in ancient life, it was really part of the deepest passion part of us. The soul was really not just the spirit that would go on, but our thought life and our innermost life. And then strength just means, you know, everything you have. And so they all overlap and wind together to form the deepest part of our core. And Moses is saying, and Jesus is affirming, that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you need to teach that to your children, not just once, but every day. Put it on your front of your door, put it on your walls, and do it as you walk along the way, because you can't just teach one time. He says, as you're traveling in life, I keep this as sort of a reminder, and this has Jesus' word. It begins with the Shema. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And this is the first and greatest commandment. The second is love your neighbor as yourself. To remind me how important that is, not just to me, but to raising my little girl. And then finally, last one is to love, which really moves us from discipline and model, communicate, and love. And really, love is part of all of them. And if love was the most important thing to God, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life, then that, if our Heavenly Father, most important thing is love, then so also should our life reflect God's love, and that our love is the most important thing. And there is tough love. Love really does have some tough moments where you have to sort of lay things out. But first and last, if love is the most important thing, then I think we get through all of our shortcomings and all of our failures in some sense. And the first word of life is usually love, and for most people, the last word of life is love. Who on their deathbed talks about all the other things other than, I love you. I've always loved you. I care about you. Love God. And if love is sewn into the fabric in our life that way, then I think we're as good a parent as we can be. And for all of us, there's something important that we can do. Not just if you're a parent now, but also to parent kids in the community with broken lives and broken hearts. They need one caring adult to come around them and to encourage parents who are struggling. I'd like to close with this parable from ancient times. This rabbi in the 2nd century was praying the Shema on his way home from work one day. He had to go to the village, and his home was outside the village, and it was evening time, and he was praying the Shema, as they do in a repetitive fashion, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and all your strength. And as he said that over and over, he was sort of lost in the moment and traveled down this road. He went past the turn for his home. He kept walking and walking, saying this prayer, until all of a sudden he found himself at a Roman encampment. And in front of the Roman encampment was a Roman centurion, a Roman soldier. The Roman centurion looked at him and sternly said, "Halt! Who are you and why are you here?" And the rabbi was stunned. For a moment, he just thought about that. And he looked at the Roman soldier and he said, "How much do they pay you to do that?" And the soldier was taken back by that question. He said, "I said, who are you and why are you here?" And the rabbi again looked at the soldier and said, "Listen, I mean no harm, but how much do they pay you to stand there and say that?" The Roman soldier saw this sort of older rabbi and he said, "Okay, they pay me 2 drachma a day." And the rabbi looked at him and said, "I will double your salary if you will stand in front of my door every day. And when you see me leave and when you see me come home, ask me those same 2 questions. Who are you and why are you here?" Because I think if we have that kind of clarity like the rabbi, to know who we are and why we're here, then we'll know that those things that we share are the most important things. Love is so powerful that we will love the Lord our God with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all your strength, and serve him only. And then the rest of it will come into place, because discipline is important. Modeling that is so important. And communicating that love is so important. Who are you and why are you here? Will you join me in prayer? Gracious God, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. You are the only answer that we have to who we really are and why we're here. But more than anything else, we're to love you and to love others and to nurture our children in that love and to reach out to others' lives in our community, both young and old, and to offer your healing love and to embrace in them and to strengthen them and to give them grace as you have given us grace. Help us to do so through your power and to your glory. Amen.